everybody. Will Alexander from Will Alexander's Dog Show Tips. Today on the interview chair, we have none other than Dr. John Reeve Newson. So sit back and enjoy John's interview for the next hour or so. Hi, everybody. Will Alexander. Today we have Dr. John Reeve Newson. Hi, John. How are you? He's making me call him John. I'm used to calling him Dr. or Sir. So he's making me call him John.
I'm fine, Will. Just fine.
That's good. Yeah. How is it? How is this pandemic treating you?
Well, it's hard to say. I'm really sick to death of it, but there's not much we can do about it, is there?
Not really, no.
No.
Hopefully the world seems to be opening up a bit down there. Our world, the dog world, is not opening up as much up here.
No, it's not.
Maybe with this new vaccine, we'll see some sunlight sometime. Okay. All right. Can you tell me how you first got into our world of the sport of dogs?
Dr. Mean came into my office with a Borzoi. That's how we met, and that's how we got started, yeah. Mm-hmm. And the Borzoi was not well, it died, and it had come from quite a well-known breeder at the time. And so I suggested he write the breeder and get a replacement puppy, which he did. She didn't have a puppy, but she had an older dog, which she gave him on the premise that it would be shown. And so he got the bag, and away we went, yes.
And that was late 60s, you said?
Yes. Yeah, probably late 60s. I was 30, so whatever that works out to. Yes.
I thought you were adding it up there for a second.
I have to multiply. I have to subtract. Yeah.
Okay.
Time goes so quickly, you know.
It sure does. There's no question about that.
Yeah.
I still remember you guys when I was a kid at the mat, seeing the two of you. So.
Really?
One of the first times, yeah. And probably, I was about, I don't know, 8 or 9 when I first met you.
Well, Jesus, thank you for pointing that out to me.
Well, I'm only 20 now, John, so it's
good. Yeah, sure. In dog years.
Yeah. Okay, so where did it go from there? You guys are together now, and you have this Borzoi. It's not bad.
And then Dick thought it, you know, he kind of caught the bite to show, and so he wanted to get into breeding. We bought a place in the country, Kishinga Kennels,
and had Ontario.
Yeah, and bought two bitches who immediately escaped and got shot by the neighbors.
Oh, I can't believe that. It's crazy.
Well, then it was a law in Ontario then, so we decided to breed, and then in a way it was providential because they were nice bitches, but they were nothing great. So we leased, because she wouldn't sell it to us, the best bitch we could find, which was owned by a woman in Sault Ste. Marie, I think, called Eva Stair. And we leased her and sent her to BC to bred to a dog who was living out there as a pet, who was sort of behind a lot of the dogs that we liked. We had done a lot of research by then as well. So we bred her, and she had 13 puppies, and the rest is history. Yeah.
Out of those 13, did you show them that?
Most of them were shown, yes. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. We didn't get Mustache and Dalgarth coming in until later on, though. So.
They were about the third or fourth litter after that, yes. Yeah.
Those
when we started in the breed, they had really bad temperaments. Unstable, and so we exchanged one of those 13 puppies for a beautiful bitch, mostly Dutch, who was bred by, owned by people called De Rijk, who were breeders in Ottawa. Oh. And she had the most wonderful temperament and passed the temperament on to her offspring and offspring and offspring. Her name was Ruby de Bolshoi, and she was just a beautiful bitch, yeah. And a wonderful temperament.
And it's amazing you found all these dogs in Canada. You must have searched. Sault Ste. Marie, I wouldn't have thought would have been a hot spot for Borzoi, but I don't know.
It wasn't. It wasn't a hot spot for anything, actually. Yeah. Yeah, we did our research. We we looked around.
Yep.
So tell me about the Delgarth and Mustache era then.
Well, they were from the fourth litter. They were brothers, obviously. And Delgarth had his first Bethlehem show when he was a nine-month-old puppy. And then we started to show Mustache, or Desert Song, as his name was. And he started to do a lot of winning. And then we sold Delgarth, who by then was a bit older, to the Ross in California. And he was shown by Ed Ablett. And he did a lot of winning there. I think he had like 27 or 29 best in shows for a Borzoi. That was a lot. Mustache ended up with over 40 best in shows. Top dog, all breed in Canada, et cetera, et cetera. Yeah. Won the American National two or three times. Yeah.
That's amazing. Yeah. Did you first or second at the Garden? I forget now.
Well, that's one of the tragedies of our life. He was second at the Garden to a fix. Shall we call it a fix? Because he would have gone best in show. But it's the only time I saw Dick cry after a group.
Oh, really? Wow.
Because we got, I was going to say a bad word, screwed. Yeah. Yeah. Sad. But it's a dog show for you, you know.
For sure. Nine figure skating.
Yes.
So after Mustache, where did you guys go from there? Had you started hedging yet?
No, I started a bit later. I think I can't remember, but I started judging after that. Well, then you had to be breeding for at least 10 years, so that would have put me in the 40s before I started judging. And I was a terrible handler, just god awful.
Which is amazing, because we all get so nervous showing to you. So.
Well, I'm glad to hear that. I got invited to do a puppy sweepstakes, and Dick said, you should accept it. He said, you know, you do most of the selections and the breeding and all that. He said, you might like it. And it was the Borzoi Club of Greater New York. And I judged it, and I really did like it. Yeah. Yeah. I remember it well. Audrey Bembo's daughter, Laura, what's her name? Doesn't matter. Won it. With a nice dog called Barry Atinsky. Yeah, and the rest.
Again,
people see you judge, and they like what you do, and you get more invitations, and away it goes. So, yeah. Then I got invited to go to Norway. My first overseas assignment was a Whippet specialty in Sweden, actually. And then it just seems to grow, you know. If you judge well and behave yourself, then you get asked back. Yeah.
Well, so you were not an Albrecht judge. You were a judge, like a legitimate judge at that point, not just a sweepstakes judge.
I was a legitimate judge. Yes, I was then. Yeah.
And you started in the hound group, and you're all breed now, of course.
Yes. But I didn't rush through it. I think it was, unlike some other well-known Canadian all-breed judges, I won't mention any names, who became all-breed in about 5 months. It took me 18 years to become all-breed, you know, because Carol Hollins, who was a great family friend and a mentor, said, you know, learn what you're doing before you take more breeds. So that's what I did. I think you really have to feel comfortable before you judge.
I wish she had more of a judging career, because I think she was a little bit of, I saw her judge before she became a rep. She was I thought she was a really good judge. So.
She was a crackerjack, yeah.
Yeah.
And she'd watch me judge, and then she'd come and say, "Now, Dr. John." Yeah. She was a good critic, harsh but true. Yeah,
she was harsh. I only got to show to her once, and that was at English Setters at Cobo Hall, back when Cobo Hall was a big show still. And it was frightening, because I've known her my whole life, but she goes in there, and you just, you know, she knows exactly what she wants, and not going to put up with any shit or
anything. She sure isn't. Yeah, and she was a wonderful rep. She was critical but helpful, and I liked her a lot.
Yeah,
Dick was, of course, they were great friends because they traveled the shows together all the time, and he was quite devastated when she died so suddenly. Yeah.
Yes. I have, when she moved out of Michigan, I actually went to the kennel because I was actually thinking about looking into the kennel and at that point in my life, but she gave me one of her father's wooden crates.
Uh-huh.
It's one that Michael Bryan, Duke of Sussex, who was a very famous Irish setter.
Oh yes.
It was his crate. And I'm like, how did he fit in this crate? And she said, well, remember, William, we used to put them in station wagons.
Yeah.
But I still have it. It's a great crate.
Yeah. She was a real loss when she left us. Yeah.
So you're judging now. You're still reading. You've been reading Borzoi for a while. You've had some major success with the two boys. And where did you go from there? Like the Skye Terriers and Frenchies come in there somewhere.
Yeah, well, Dick was going to the shows with the Borzoi, and he said, you know, I get bored sitting around waiting for the hound group. I think I'd like a terrier. And so we bought a Skye Terrier from Glentan Kennels in Pennsylvania. Sorry, I just forgot their name. Nice bitch, and did some quite winning and bred her. And the first ones we had were mean as snakes, but... Oh, just awful. They bite you as quick as you look at you, but the temperament we bred. I was judging in Sweden, I think, or Norway, not that it matters, and I gave four Skye Terriers, the breeder group, and they were just magnificent. And I came back and said to Dick, you know, I just judged these Skyes, which you won't believe, and they won this huge breeder group. And this is where you should go. And so that's what he went. He bought a dog from them, and they had wonderful temperaments and still do have wonderful temperaments. Yeah. As Dick said, he doesn't think they were purebred because their temperament was so nice. Yeah.
Well, yeah. We had one in the house for the longest time with Sharon. So they were, he was a wonderful dog. So.
Yeah, they were.
The Skyes and then the Frenchies.
And Frenchie's the same thing. He saw the breed somewhere and brought one up from the States. Some famous woman had bred a nice dog, ugly though, and then really ugly. And then he got a beautiful dog from Holland. Yeah. From his name was Wambo de la Peru, and he was a great dog.
Yes.
Yeah. And then we bred. Yeah, he was a lovely dog. Yeah.
Is that where Benvenuto came from then?
Benvenuto would have been his grandson.
Yeah. I was telling you earlier the story about, I'm sure it was at Cars, or no, it was CanSafe. CanSafe, the children, and Dr. Dick had just won the breeders' sweeps. They did a show afterwards, and it was with Benvenuto. And we were packing up, and also we looked over to Dick had left for dinner, I guess. And we look over the setup, and he had left the dog in the X-Men.
Sounds like him, yeah.
So, we rescued him and got him home to him during his hotel room.
Yeah, we had some really beautiful dogs. We were blessed, yeah.
Yeah.
But we just didn't go at it happenstance. No, we didn't show anything we didn't believe in or admired ourselves. Mm-hmm. I think a lot of people just drag stuff around, and it's not really worthy, but it was never our motto, man.
The only dogs that I can think of that you two are associated with are always at the Lakelands, and even the Afghan dog that from Australia.
Yeah.
They're all exciting dogs, you know.
Yeah. Well, as Dick said, it costs as much to feed a good one as it does a bad one. So,
yes, that's true.
Yeah.
So when you started judging, who would you consider? Well, let's go back. What about mentors? Did Dr. Dick and yourself have mentors in this sport that you look to for advice or guidance?
Robin Hernandez from Mexico, who was a Borzoi breeder, who was quite a good friend and used to come up and stay with us. He was a great mentor in the Borzoi breed and gave us some good advice in breeding and showing. Probably he was one of the best in Canada. I think Shirley DeBoer, cranky though she was, taught Dick a lot about handling and was very... She didn't brook any nonsense. She was quite hard on him and would run him around the parking lot. And he really learned a lot from her as well. She was a great handler.
Oh, she really was, yes.
Yeah, really was.
Yeah, we were lucky to watch, be able to watch her growing up, so.
Yeah. I mean, she didn't like to lose.
No. But she was, you know, it was funny. She was such... Like, I remember showing, I was younger, I was like 10 or 11, showing my parents Doberman, and I want to say, it might have been Jimmy Trollinger, I can't remember who was judging, but it wasn't Jimmy Trollinger, it was somebody else. And the judge didn't want to judge, because I was really little, as you remember, he didn't want to judge this boy showing this Doberman, and Shirley stood up for me and said that she wasn't going to show her dog if I wasn't allowed to show my dog. So.
Oh, good for her.
Yeah. I still remember that. I want to think it was in Ottawa for some reason.
Yeah, I remember Jimmy Trollinger. Yeah.
Yeah. He gave me one of my very first group firsts at the sportsman show.
I bet he did. We don't need to go there, Will.
Okay. Let's get back on track. So it was Shirley and Robin. Who else do we have for mentors? Even just mentors. Dr. John.
Pardon me?
Even judging mentors. You both must have some judging mentors that guided you.
Well, I liked Mike Billings a lot. And I liked, she was a wonderful lady from California whose name I just forgot. I liked her a lot too. Yeah.
What breeds? What was her breeds?
She judged hounds mostly and other breeds a lot. Yeah. I'll think of her. Pardon?
Wasn't Dorothy McDonald?
No.
No.
I'll think of it in a minute.
Okay.
Yeah.
Well, while you're thinking, let's carry on.
Yeah.
What about some, you always talk about dogs having oh wow moments when you first see them.
Yeah.
Do you have some of those dogs in your mind's eye that you'll never forget seeing for the first time?
Sure. Mick, the Kerry Blue.
He's a common denominator. When I ever ask this question, he's one of the first ones, the first dogs that always pops into people's minds.
Yeah. Nanook, Take No Prisoners.
Oh, yes. Sandy's dog. That, he was unbelievable.
Unbelievable. Yeah. He never should have lost the garden, but that's the luck of the draw.
Yeah. He won the Ukanoo, by the way. I was there the year he won the Ukanoo show.
Yeah. He was a wonderful dog. Yeah. Just everything you expect in the breed. He, male, magnificent, great. Yeah, just everything. He had it all. Yeah, I thought. Yeah.
He was fun.
And she's a great rep, too, by the way.
Oh, she is. Sandy's dope.
Yeah. If she needs to give you a shit, she will do so. But that's okay. That's their job, you know.
Exactly. Yeah.
You know, keep us all on track.
Yeah. Remember that first oh wow dog you saw?
Oh. Other than our own. Well, probably Nanook, I think, was probably one of my first oh wow dogs. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. When you were were there dogs out there you wish you'd been a part of?
Not really. No. We had some great dogs and certainly did our share of winning.
Oh, you know.
I really have no regrets to that. Yeah. I think Shirley DeBoer's boxer I would like to have seen in the flesh. Yeah.
Oh, Shadrach.
Yeah, he was a pretty magnificent dog as well. Yeah. And Joey Purdy had a couple of Dobermans that were really quite magnificent too as well.
Yeah, there was that Troll Arabesque dog and Goober, limited edition, was that his name? Can't remember.
Can't remember. Yeah.
All I remember is going to Joey's when I was a kid and being attacked by the geese on her property.
Yeah. Well, she was a powerhouse too. But that, you know, that's when we were showing. There were some really, a lot of really strong competition in the dog show world then. And yeah, I think the dog show world as we know it and enjoyed it is gone. You know, I hate to sound pessimistic, but.
Line two is for Katie. I think it's gone.
Yeah. I do think that we got to live in the most important era.
Yeah, the best we did. Yeah,
I think you got to see a lot of really great individuals, breeders, handlers, judges, and their dogs.
Okay. Yeah, and the very lucky. Competition was fierce, but it was. Except in the boxer ring, it was usually pretty calm. Yeah. I remember Shirley used to fight with McGriskins all the time.
Oh, Nora and Jim, yeah.
Yeah.
Sure, she mostly won.
She mostly won. She was fierce, yeah.
She was. She was something. As far as judging wise, you've had some really great assignments. Do you have some of those that are, that stick out in your mind?
Well, as my friend Espen said, I'm the only one who's judged best in show at all the Scandinavian shows. So that was pretty exciting to do those three assignments, Sweden, Norway, and whatever, Finland, actually. Judging the garden several times. I think I've judged there 7 or 8 times. That's always a thrill.
What was your first assignment at the garden? Do you remember?
Yes, I do. I was scared shitless. Terriers.
Terrier group was your first assignment?
Or? No, terrier breeds. Yeah.
You were scared.
Well, not scared.
I'm sure you didn't let on that you were nervous at all. So.
No, not at all. You can't do that because it. You just can't do it. But it was... hate to use the word nerve-wracking, but there's a lot of people watching, and we try not to fuck up, which we managed not to do. Yeah.
Well, it's overwhelming seeing all those.
It is. And everyone watching you as well, and, you know, knowing what to expect. Yeah.
What about advice for judges? Giving advice for new judges?
Well, the first thing to do is know your breed and know what you're comfortable with. And what I think it's important to is establish in your mind's eye what you think is the ideal of the breed. So it's hard to do in Canada because you don't have the numbers. That's why I prefer to judge in the States. But you can picture what you think is ideal. So you work with those and then cut it down to into movement and things like that, and to study and to not be intimidated, which is very difficult to do. Mm-hmm. You know, when you get in the ring to judge, you already have no friends except the one who won. They'll be your friend, but you don't. I mean, you're there to do the best. And I think if you people realize that you're really doing your best and trying not to be apolitical, then you'll get some respect. Because if you lose the respect of the exhibitors, you're screwed. I mean, it's game over. Yeah. And you never get it back, I don't think. Yeah.
And you have such, when you're judging, you have such a good persona about yourself. Like you're always dressed well. And I always try to make sure I look good enough to show to you, because one time you gave me hell for my shoes, so I've always made sure my shoes are as shiny as I can possibly make them, even if they're not up to your standards, but they're shinier than usual for me.
Yeah,
I always try to show you, look at my shoes.
But, so does the Bernardin boy in the States always says, look at the shoes.
Adam Bernardin, yeah.
I gave him shit for showing in dirty shoes anyway.
Because he's my son, what can I say?
Really?
Well, he worked for me for 7 or 8 years, and he's like my son, so.
Yeah, he's a very good handler. He's learned a lot from you, and as Dick said, you know, when you're judging, you look at the whole picture, the handler and the dog and the movement together, and what they present as a image in your eye. Yeah.
I'll never forget one time I walked in with sheepdogs under you, and I think I was first in line. I can't remember. But you took the brush out of my hand and you announced to everybody. First you said, you said, pay attention or something. I don't remember. But the first one that runs with this breed is going to feel this brush.
That sounds like something I would say. Yeah, I hate them people running with the breeds that shouldn't be run with. Yeah, good for me.
Right? Well, it's good that I remember these things. So I
yeah, know. It is. Yeah.
And I think I remember having that dog that Tony bred and walked into your ring, and I kept thinking, don't bloody well run in there with the dog.
Good for you. Yeah.
And you're always walking if we're down there showing, you know, arise, and away we get to go.
So. Right. You know, I still say arise. Yeah.
So you have that, it's intimidating, but it's also you're in charge. When you're
That's there. Good to know. Yeah. Thank you.
So, did we answer the first oh wow dog that walked in your ring?
We did, yes, yeah.
Because we got off tangent on a different tangent at one point. Advice? We talked about advice to judges. What about advice to breeders? Because you guys have been so successful breeding as well.
Well, do your homework, and we learned this, I think, from Robin Hernandez as well. To breed, as he called it, to the shadow of the dog. Don't breed to the dog that's doing all the winning right now. Look what's behind that dog and see what was bred to produce this dog, and that's what you need to go to. And when we bred our first Borzoi litter, the male was living as a pet in British Columbia with Leslie Rogers, of all people. Yeah.
That's interesting, the shadow of that dog. That's a good way of saying it.
You like that? Yeah. Yeah,
I mark that down and use that.
You can, yeah.
How do you feel about the judging process here in Canada right now?
Well, of course, it's been years since I had to go through it, so I don't know what's involved. It seems that there's an awful lot of judges coming through the ranks very quickly. I think without a lot of experience, shall we call? And as Dick said, well, they never bred a good dog. What the fuck would they know what a good dog is? Sorry.
You know? That's staying there.
Because if you see a dog or with quality, there's kind of a radiance comes out of them as well. And, they have it, you know, the magic it.
Yeah, I do.
Yeah.
It does catch your eye.
You walk
by a ring and just gradually look across the ring, and all of a sudden something hits you and you have to stay and watch, you know.
Exactly, yeah. And it's the same thing if you're, especially, you know, if you have large classes when they come in, and you can usually think, well, that's a contender. Ugh, take it home and shoot it. That's not a, you know. I learned that from a Swedish guy. Quality always shows. And Dick and I used to talk about that a lot, why, you know, some judges don't do a very good job. And he would say, well, look what they had and what they showed. They never showed a quality dog, so they would never know quality when they see it, not only in their breed, but in other breeds as well. You know, a lot of breeds, I'll be quite frank, I don't know the ins and outs of it, but I think I can recognize quality.
I think that's true of any successful dog person. I think that they had just have that natural eye.
Yes.
They'll be able to tell you why it's a great one, but they can sure recognize it. So.
Exactly, yeah.
What would you say over all the years of your showing? Let's start with showing. What was your favorite win?
Best in show at the old Chicago International. That was an exciting win. Yeah.
That was Mustache Desert Song.
Yes. Yeah. It was very exciting. Yeah.
Who was judging that night? Do you remember?
Tom Stevenson.
Oh, wow. Excellent.
Yeah. And that dachshund lady did the group, you know. Very elegant, quite crusty, but she gave him the group. Yeah. We to go first in the group, the Schwartzes went second. Yes, that was a great moment. Yeah.
And as a judge, what has been your favorite assignment, if you could narrow it down to such a thing?
Well, that's difficult to say, because every show, you know, even sometimes in little podunk shows, something will come in your ring that makes you really happy. I think to do the groups at the garden is very exciting, because you usually, well, it depends who does the breed. Sometimes it's kind of disappointing. Because usually the breeds that come through are, you know, the quality dogs as well. And remember the first time I did the hound group there, and I said to somebody, when I saw her, I said, "Now, where were you in that group?" And she hadn't gotten through the breed, which was kind of sad, because I thought her dog was beautiful. So
yeah, that happens.
Shows you, yeah.
It happens. I remember I was showing a dog in the group, and I won't say what dog or what. I was helping somebody. I had lost that day. And the judging walked up to me and puts her hands on the dog I was showing, and she said, "This doesn't look like an English setter." So
really?
Yeah, so I knew I had the wrong dog in that ring.
Yeah. You learn as a judge, keep your mouth shut. never offer an opinion.
Yeah. What about funny instances in the ring while you were judging, or, well, mostly judging? Since you told me you were a horrible handler, so you're not going to have a lot of those.
Well, I never really have any amusing things as well. I had some woman once who, her slip fell off. I thought that was kind of funny. She was great. She just stepped out of it. I picked up the slip and she kept going. I think she won her class, actually. Yeah. I'm usually pretty well in control. You know,
yeah.
So nothing gets too loose on me. Yeah. That sounds sort of pompous to say so, but it's the truth.
Yeah. And what I think about your judge, I think you have such a dry humor that once in a while you'll say something under your breath of someone you know that is funny.
Yeah. There. You can't repeat those. Yeah.
I've been there.
Yes.
Okay. How about if you could speak to the 20-year-old Dr. John Reeve-Newson and give him any advice, what would it be?
20 years old?
20-year-old Dr. John, yeah.
Don't get married. My advice is just decide what you want to do and set your goals and follow them through with all your heart and with all your vigor. Try not to get distracted by the idiosyncrasies of life as well. Maintain your direction and remain your purpose and your focus. Yeah. Yeah.
Okay. That's good.
And that's what Dick and I did when we got into dogs. I mean, we were both 30 when we met, and we had an objective and a focus, and we never lost it, you know. And we had each other to support with that as well. Yeah.
That was a great partnership in the sport, that's for sure.
Yeah, it was a great one, yeah.
So are you missing dog shows at this point?
Oh, terribly, yes. Yeah, it's such a part of your life. And I have so many friends in the dog show, exhibitors, of course, and other judges. And it's a huge gap in your life in what you fill yourself in that time. I'm lucky our daughter lives and her husband live just around the corner from us. And so she's great company, and so is he. They stay in our bubble, they come over for dinner, but it's not the same as bullshitting with the, you know, Suey and all the other judges. Yeah. Yeah.
How about this question? Do you have any advice for handlers showing to you?
Yes. Do your homework. follow the pattern that is established. I always establish a pattern in the first class, and I hate people to come in and what do I do now, doctor? And my usual answer is exactly what the 80 people before you did. Oh, I wasn't paying attention. Well, anyway, follow that and have the dog clean and well presented and reasonably well trained. I don't expect them ever to be machines because they're dogs and they have to let them be dogs. But just follow the pattern and present the dog to the best of your ability. And remember, you're there to show the dog, not vice versa. Okay. You know,
very true. Yeah.
I hate those prissy, what I call the junior handling types. You know? Yeah.
Well, thank you. Thank you, John. I appreciate your time. people, I'm sure the dog world is missing you. Do you have anything you want to say to the dog? Because they're going to all watch this when they find out that it's you. So do you have anything you want to say to them until they see
you? Well, I miss them. I miss them all as well. I consider them friends and acquaintances. Well, we've been in the game for 50 years. Yep. And so it's a huge, huge part of your life. You know, I stay in touch with Pam and some other people, as Abby in California and other people as well. But it's the interpersonal relationships that I miss a lot. I'm very doubtful whether it'll ever come back. I hope it will, but we'll have to wait and see.
It seems to be going pretty strong in America right now. You know, they have shows almost every weekend in certain areas.
Yeah, they do. Yeah. So my next assignment is the garden. So I'm looking forward to that. Yeah.
Well, we'll all see you there at the Westchester site. That'll be
exciting. Yeah, we used to go to that grounds all the time.
I've never been there. I can't wait now.
Really? It's quite beautiful. Yeah. It used to be the show. And it's shown by a bunch of snotty old Upper East Coast men in their jackets. And they were very unfriendly, but the grounds are beautiful. Yeah. Well, we look forward to seeing you there. And thank you for your time, Will.
Well, thank you, John, for allowing us into your...
Oh, see, you said it. Was it that difficult?
It doesn't feel right, though.
Okay. Take care.
Yeah, you take care as well. It's great to see you.
Well, thank you, Dr. John. It was a great interview. We all missed you. It was good to see you. If you like what we're doing here, make sure you press the like, share, and subscribe button. If you want to get a hold of me, go to dogshowtips@gmail.com. Or if you just want to find out what's happening in Will's world, go to willalexander.net. Until next time, talk later, guys.